You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the ability and the opportunity to worship you. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us now as we discuss this class in this space, and as Marianne discusses our youth ministry. And we pray this all in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Today's class will have three distinct sections. The first is that I'm going to introduce just the idea of faith and family for those new, and just a reminder for those that have been here for years and years. Marianne will give us an update on youth ministry. And then Margot's coming, I promise. Margot and I will talk about just the idea of what we'll be doing this fall in the Faith and Family class. So, space. Why have a dedicated space to family ministry? So this is the succinct philosophy of ministry part of this class today. So first and foremost, this class, and this is obvious, but I need to say it, this class is a function of the Church of the Advent. It is fully within the cultural fabric of the Advent is that we as a church family, we find our full identity in the person of Jesus Christ, and our full identity in the work of Christ and in the gospel that he graciously gives us. A good friend of mine said that we are a church that is 100-proof Christianity, all the way, which means that we are gospel people, we are Jesus people, we take seriously the Word of God, which is not an end unto itself, but what points us to Christ and that enlivens our hearts for Him. And so at any stage of life, I've found it's good to have a focused touch points whereby that stage of life can find some contextualized material. Youth ministry, one of those. Exactly. So family life is one of life's most defining characteristics. I think we can look around at our lives and know that that's true. At the end of our life, many, many years from now, we will want the people around us that mean the most to us. And often that's our family. And we, as such, we're people that wear many hats. We're fathers, we're mothers, we're sons, we're brothers and sisters. And as such, the roles that we play in life can be really big, or they can feel big. And being a parent and having a family is one of the most challenging and one of the most rewarding things that one can possibly do. I've said in the last 3 years, you become a different person when you become a parent. It just happens. And being a parent is one of the most hearting, most rewarding things that I've ever had the opportunity to do. And as such, we want this place, this class, to be a place whereby the Word of God and the Gospel can be contextualized with an eye towards family life. That's the point of the Faith and Family class. And the Gospel is meant to traffic in our very real lives in all of its many facets. And that includes family life. That's a big part of our life. Whatever your family looks like, and so whatever, so what that means is this class exists to have an eye towards the family and all of the people that make them up.
Beautiful.
That's the philosophy of ministry for the Faith and Family class.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
And now Marianne's going to talk about youth ministry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm aware we're kind of taking this time, knowing that school is starting off. Your kids' ministry is highly focused around Sunday school and Sunday mornings, and Tara will probably make some appearances mm-hmm. here to keep talking about what that looks like. But while some parents are in one place on a Sunday morning, Margot and I wanted to take a minute to say this is kind of how we're approaching youth ministry, for what reasons, and also a little bit of what the calendar looks like. So,
here, Margot, you come on.
We'll have and then I'm going to scoot and go to the high schoolers again. So we're all shuffling today. My name is Marianne McCarty, and I'm the director of youth ministry here. If we haven't met, let's do. Margot is the associate for youth and families, so that kind of puts her in the parents, a lot of this faith and family class, but also teenagers. John Mark Haas is a seminary student who also works with us. He's turning 27 tomorrow and is teaching the high school students right now, or else he would be here as well. But I want you to know that the youth ministry exists to help students engage with Jesus through his word, his church and his mission in the world. So we want to do a lot of Bible study, helping kids know their way around the scripture with the point of knowing Jesus, engaging their personal relationship with him. We want to do things that build community, that help them have deep friendships with other students from their school and other schools that go to church together, that are following Jesus together. We also want to do things that help them form friendships and relationships with people older than them, and see them as a part of the church as a whole. So when they're acolyting or helping with kids, children's church, and having small group and Sunday school leaders that are their parents and grandparents' ages, or like a fun aunt kind of age, like me and some other folks. It's really good for them to have relationships with people who are not just their parents, who are following Jesus as well. So that's a lot of our focus. And then we really want them to be serving, to be understanding that part of the way God works in the world is not only through the fellowship of the church, but meeting needs in our community and even across the world. So those three parts, engaging with Jesus through his word, his church, and his mission in the world, are a lot of what we structure what we do. We structure what we do around those things. Because really we want students, both children and especially as they're growing in their teenage years, to move from head knowledge to heart knowledge. That's why we've chosen the word engage with Jesus. I want them to know that this is something for them to do on their own. This is a personal relationship. We don't come to church just to like learn a lot of facts, but it affects our lives, because we believe that that's the best thing in life is following Jesus personally. I'm going to briefly give you an overview of Sunday school for students this year, and then Margot will talk about our calendar for a little bit, and then you'll switch into the next phase, and I'm going to split. Is that good?
Yeah.
This year in Sunday school, your teenagers are going to be studying titles of Jesus in the Old Testament. There are particularly seven that we're going to look at. We've spent time in Isaiah last fall, and they were like, this is really hard. And I'm like, I know. But just because the New Testament is maybe easier doesn't mean the Old Testament is not worth studying and worth learning. And so for the purpose of saying, if we didn't know who Jesus was by name, who is he? And how do we know? And where would we see that in Scripture? So every 2 weeks, we'll look at a different title. 1 week, we'll really dig into some Old Testament texts about Jesus being the root of Jesse, Jesus being the king of the nations, these kinds of things. The next week, we'll take an opportunity to learn a spiritual practice, like reading the Bible on your own, meditation. We'll probably go out to the garden and look at the trees and things. A little bit weird, a little bit uncomfortable, but teaching them what are things they can do on their own throughout the week to grow in their personal relationship with God, create space in their lives to open up to connecting with God personally on their own. So I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about the volunteers we have teaching. I would really encourage them to be here on Sunday mornings and building relationships, especially with the group that's here in this church that God's put together, the family of the church. I like that part of faith and family. It's like, yes, this is for the family unit, and I care very strongly about the church being the family of God and providing family beyond just our nuclear families. It's really important and intentional, and worshiping together is one of the ways that we get to grow in that. So the other thing I'll say is that we really just want to be on your students' team. We want to be in your corner as parents as well. So please call us. We love to pray for you and have coffee and pray with, listen to what's going on. Love taking walks with your students. John Mark would play sports 24/7 and not sleep. So if you have a son that needs someone to throw the football or baseball or run 6 miles, he'll do it. Call him. So please rely on us. That's what we love to do. Margot has done a great job kind of putting these ideas onto the calendar and the programs. So, tell us about it.
Yeah. So if we think about how Jesus came to us and walked among us and lived the life we should have and did all those things, we kind of were thinking, well, maybe we should do that with our students as well. We love to pursue your children, but we also want to help come alongside them as well. And so we've spent the past semester and over the summer just kind of learning about your children's lives and just kind of the complexities that it comes with being a seventh and eighth grade girl or a high school boy. And so when we looked at the calendar, instead of adding one more activate game or one more crazy night doing dinner, we just kind of thought, well, how can we come alongside them and just really be with them in the spaces they're already in? So instead of doing late Sunday night dinners, we want to do a once monthly brunch. We're already in the momentum of church, so to go home and sit, that's when I sleep the deepest, is from 2 to 5. It's one of those naps you wake up and you don't remember what year it is. And so instead of having to muster the strength to keep going, it's no, let's just meet them where they are. Let's go somewhere right after. We're also going to start doing a once monthly kickball game. I know that sounds really silly, but it's going to be super fun. It's going to be super fun. We're going to be playing other churches. So we've spoken with St. Luke's. Yeah, so we're actually trying to create a really competitive kickball team. So we've spoken to St. Luke's, Iron City, Redeemer, St. Mary's. We've just spoken to a lot of places because what we really want to do is have an activity that your kids feel comfortable in inviting their friends. It's very low stakes. You could be a terrible athlete, but you hit that ball somehow and it just connects. It's kind of like Foursquare, where the athletes are actually the ones that get out first. So we just want to offer ways to just bring friends in. Bring friends in. Come and see. When we play kickball, we're actually playing the long game. It's not just about that Sunday afternoon. It's about, do you remember that time way back then where we were just running around and parents were pegging us with kickballs? Do you remember that? So we really want to offer opportunities to come alongside your kids and play with them. Because as youth ministers, the most important thing we can offer you as parents and your kids is rest and play. Mm-hmm. Your kids are playing sports for 16 hours a week. They're going to tutoring for 4 hours. They're doing AP classes, all 7 of them, before they even get to college. And so we really want to start showing them now that you can have a lot of fun and you can do it with your friends. So that's what we're hoping to do with the calendar. And we have a handout somewhere that you can just see where it's a fourth Sunday is kickball, second Sunday is brunch, just kind of letting you know what your year looks like in advance so you can kind of start making your own calendar as well with that. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Oh, actually, yes, one more thing. The first Wednesday of every month, we are going to be partnering with Park Place. We spent the whole summer making lunches for them and playing with them. We made over 600 lunches for kids that did not have lunches. And it was amazing. We would sit on burning rocks under a tent and we would play with magnetiles and make bracelets, and we made really good friendships. So once a month, the first Wednesday of every month, we will have a van pull up to the junior high and we will put your kids on it and bring them down to Park Place so that they can play with some kids. Mm-hmm. We know that that interrupts week schedules. We know that that comes, you have to choose between ballet or this or that. We're asking you to choose just once a month. We're just saying, hey, for an hour and a half, we're going to go play with someone else's kids. Mm-hmm. And we're going to read with them. We're going to make art with them. We're going to throw a football with them. And it's going to be for an hour. And it's going to take your kids out of a tiny kingdom and just show them a bigger glimpse of it. Mm-hmm. Because when you are playing with your friends and when you are reading books with each other, you are learning how to worship in community. Mm-hmm. So we would love to help your kids learn how to serve, worship, pray, mm-hmm. and enjoy each other on Wednesdays.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about just we're going to talk about Margo and I will talk about this semester in the Faith and Family class and the material that we will be going into. I have to give full credit to Margo for this idea, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun for us to dive into. So as you can see in this calendar, this is the Faith and Family calendar for this year. The last three classes, I just have to go ahead and say, are biblical ways to get your kids better at sports. And then we're going to start incorporating in this space a theme called Field Notes. Field Notes is going to be, we're going to have a peer of many of you all speak on different ways that the Lord is engaging their lives in a specific way. So that's something we're going to start incorporating in this class as well. The biblical ways to get your kids ready at sport, better at sports, is something that I'm very excited about teaching. And but primarily, we're going to be in a series called "Are We There Yet?" Stories of our Exodus, and we're pulling from themes from the book of Exodus, with which there are many that speak to family life. So, Margo, tell us why Exodus.
Okay. I love the book of Exodus because I grew up in a family of women, and we love family drama, and we love family lore. So we would go off to college, and we'd come home, and we'd tell about our new lives, but it would ultimately go back to, do you remember when? Do you remember that time? And that is what the book of Exodus is. That's our, it's not our starting point, but it's our point where we look back and we remember just how abundantly the Lord has brought us out of things. And I think at this time in our life and where we are with our parenting and our marriages and our work life, we just kind of are waiting for that next thing, and we just want to get to the next thing, and we don't even enjoy the next thing we're in. And so going back to the Old Testament is just going to remind us of our first love, of what it was like when the Lord first got us as kids or when he first got us as adults. The book of Exodus is crazy when you think of yourself as a teenager. When you read the book of Exodus, all they do is complain. All they do is complain. And it's so easy to say our teenagers do that, but we do that as well. And so reading about the meat pots that we complain, we're like, did you take us out of here so we could die better in the wilderness? You're just like, are you kidding me? And that's what we do to God all the time. I can't believe you did this. I can't believe, why didn't you do that? And he's just like, I have saved you. I have delivered you. And so for us to go back to Exodus is just kind of reminding us of what God is doing presently. And I'll say this about Old Testament as well. I love Genesis because the first chapter is all about the Lord creating the world and naming us and giving us purpose and place. And we get to see, even when we break from that, how the Lord walks among us and just is with us. But the book of Exodus really shows us what the world looks like when we're in charge and what happens. So the book of Exodus opens with new namings and new places, but what it's actually showing is we've put ourselves in bondage, we've put ourselves in slavery, and Christ is going to lead us out. So that's what we hope to show you in Exodus for this semester. Yeah?
Yeah, I love the title, Are We There Yet? I just picture a family of five in a car and with a great destination that is coming. And y'all, I used to say I would never be this guy, but I've had many moments recently where I will say, I'm stopping this car right now. And I've told y'all, this is terrible. Isabel's three. I've said, Isabel, do you want to walk home right now? And one time I got her out of the car and I walked home with her. I think that, I mean, it's so, Daniel Stulak said this when he was here. He was working on several commentaries on Judges and 1 Samuel and Joshua. And these brutal Old Testament stories are not meant so much, and they do this, they're constant pointers to the greater reality that we've been given a promise, that we will be inheritors of that promise. And that's absolutely true. But even more so than that, they are so revealing, as Margo said, of just who we are. Just absolutely who we are. We are people that, and many times, y'all, we can't help the fact that we're in bondage. The Israelites were in Egypt for 400 years. And they went there because of a good thing. They needed to be in Egypt because that's where there was food, there was grain. And they had an inside man named Joseph that was going to give them grain and give them food. And all of Israel went down from the land of promise down, or from the land they'd been given, down into Egypt. And they were in bondage. And there was nothing they could do about that. And I think a lot of times in our lives we find ourselves in these systems or in these places that there's nothing we could do about them. We're just a fact. I am in bondage. And yet we find God meets us there. And not only that, God meets us there, but in good due time. And sometimes the due time is the longest due time. God leads us out. And then we complain about it. And we complain about the place we've been let out of. And so what Daniel Stulak said, which I find so revealing, is that these brutal Old Testament narratives, they gut us like a fish. They hold up a mirror to us and they say, how are you doing with what we're looking like and how we're behaving? So I think it's going to be fantastic to walk through Exodus. I think, as I said earlier, family life is most often the thing that's on our mind all the time. Whether it's with grown siblings or grown parents or with your kids and their futures that you can't sleep a full night thinking about, whatever it may be. And I find that Exodus is quite revealing into those places in our lives.
Yeah. Another thing we want to show you through the book of Exodus is that adolescence is a gift. Your moody teenager is such a gift to you. It truly is. The Lord has blessed you with newborns at a stage in your life where everything is new and exciting. You're new in your career, you're new in your marriage, you're new in the neighborhood, you're new in all these things, and you get to do them together. But when the Lord gives you a teenager, what he's saying is, you've been pretty comfortable for a while, and while you're going through your midlife crisis, they're going to go through their first, and somehow you're going to come together on that. And what Exodus is going to show us is the Lord is giving us a new creation story, a new identity, and we're going to somehow form it together. All the mumblings and the groanings that we're going to hear in the book of Exodus is something you're going to relate to in the car when you're driving with your kids. It's the reason it's called Are We There Yet? Is because we've all driven that we're going to that family vacation, and it's going to be amazing and it's going to be wonderful, and they just don't trust you. They just don't trust you enough. They're like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? It's like, baby, I promised you a day at the beach. I promised you a good time, but we just don't see it yet. And so this is just really reminding us that one, the people in the back that are asking us, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are such gifts to steward, but also that's how the Lord hears us as well. And so looking at Exodus, and we're going to move out of Exodus into Joshua and Judges and maybe Numbers and all those. It's just we want to take you back. We want to remind you that what family life looks like is church life together. We're so blessed to have older people in our church and younger people in our church. And so when we come together in this faith and family class, we're learning what the Israelites felt like in the wilderness. They were traveling together for 40 years. We've been together for a little bit less than that, but or at least in this room. And so just really seeing what the Lord's going to glean out of that.
Yeah, I just think that, and I'll wrap up here, and then we can have some space for questions. I do find that our lives are often, I've said this before, we kind of operate on parallel highways where, like, things are, like, the best. It's Dickens. There's the best of times and the worst of times. Life can often feel like that, and a lot of times we can only look at the positive and try to kind of ostrich ourselves from the negative, or we can just be pulled to the negative and live, speaking as one who does, live neurotic lives, trying to fix the thing without having the joy of the thing. And so I just find I could see the Israelites on the other side of the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army drowned and think, like, this is the thing we've been wanting for generations and generations and generations, to be out of Egypt. And now we're going to complain about it.
Yeah.
And so I find that sitting slowly, having a slow walk through Exodus, and it's not that slow, but it's pretty slow. Slow walk through Exodus will be good for us. Because at the end of the day, I think we're going to all relate to it. That's the power there. We're not giving a kind of Old Testament Bible study for the sake of having Old Testament Bible study. We want to do it because it's tremendously relatable, and because bondage is tremendously relatable, and then the gospel is tremendously relatable, and we need the gospel to traffic in our very real lives, and this is a space we want to do that.
And another thing we talked about too is that when you read the New Testament, and Paul is just so electrifying. I mean, it is just so exciting to hear just his passion for the church and for Christ and for his brothers and sisters, and it's just, you think it's because he was blinded on the road and he saw Jesus in the flesh and that is what did it. But what did it was that from the time he was born, he was raised in Scripture. He was raised understanding the Old Testament. And because he understood the Old Testament, when he saw Jesus for the first time like that, it was just, he had never seen colors like that. And we want to help you see those colors as well. Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit are all through the Old Testament. And so we're hoping that by week after week showing you that the traces of him, you'll start to see just how magnificent he is.
Just one last thing. Primarily Margot and I will be teaching this class this semester. and looking forward. And also we'll have some fantastic folks teach as well. And I'm particularly excited about the field notes aspect to it. I want you all to hear from each other in the amazing work that God is doing in our lives amid our very real lives. Do we have any questions for the Faith and Family space? Margo, do you have any questions for us?
It's like I'm with the 7th and 8th graders. I trust when we ask questions with the youth and they don't say anything, it's because the Holy Spirit is just talking to them, just going nuts for them. We really want Faith and Family to be a place where you can come and sit next to someone new each time. We don't think this is the place you have to, if we're offering this, you have to come to it. We have so many good teachers here, and we really want you to enjoy all that the church has to offer. But I do like the idea of when we have Faith and Family, it's kind of like we're coming inside the ark, and we're just like, it was the first week at school, and I've been looking forward to this all week, and I'm so worn out. My summer came to an end when I was meeting with Will to talk about this, and I was pulling out like hot chicken fingers to hand to my daughter who was going to be in the other room, and I was just like, I'm so tired. And then we started talking about the book of Exodus, and I was like, oh yeah, people can relate to this. So it's our hope that when we are going through Exodus and we're doing our Faith and Family, that you'll just remember that we are, and we enjoy each other most of the time. Sometimes we don't, but we do. So,
and just, you'll see as we look at the calendar, this class is mostly during semesters. It's met every single week. That's mostly going to be true. We are going to have a couple of breaks, mainly because we have fantastic other classes and offerings that we want to offer. Mm-hmm. You all have the opportunity to go to. I know in the weeks after Rally Day, Jonathan Linebaugh will be teaching in the Dean's class. We'll have 20s and 30s will be another offering that will fill in those gaps where this class isn't meeting. Just because there's some interest in going to both of those and not scheduling those at the same time. So, because we have so many amazing offerings here, one thing we don't want to do is just over schedule Sunday school classes. And yet, we want this class, as it has been and will continue to be, a place that we're fully committed to speaking on family life in all of its beauties and complexities. So, let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for the rich gospel that we've had preached to us for decades, and for 150 years here. And we pray that this space would be a continuation of that, that we could speak, that you would speak your good and gracious gospel in contextualized ways to family life, into all the beauties and complexities that come with that. We pray this all in Christ's name, for his sake, and for our good. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.